So it's the Vicar's Report, which is a chance for me to talk about big things like our vision and our direction. So let's begin with a reminder. What are we here to do? Well, does anyone remember this? To know and show Jesus. What's that? That's our purpose statement, isn't it? We've talked about that a fair bit in the last year. We're here to know and show Jesus. And we do that in these three areas. That's what we said, wasn't it? We do it by knowing his truth, by showing his love, and by sharing his good news. Do you remember that? To know and show Jesus. Knowing his truth, showing his love, sharing his good news. Well, all right. Do you also remember this? Jesus is everything that God has promised. Do you remember that? That's perhaps the big line that we've learnt from our Bible overview series, isn't it, that we've been going through this year. And if you weren't there or you didn't hear it, then have a look on the website and listen to sermon number 8 in that Bible overview series, because that gets to the heart of this message, that Jesus is everything that God has promised. Right. Well, from that comes this conviction. Jesus is everything we need. If Jesus is everything that God has promised, then he's also everything we need. Because God doesn't sell us short. He's given us everything we need in Jesus. Now, in a nutshell, the Christian life, really, is a journey of discovery, where we discover this thing, that Jesus is everything we need. That's what happens in the Christian life, isn't it? Right, well, from that comes this conviction. Jesus is everything we do. Now, that's a bit more grammatically awkward, isn't it? But you get the idea. You know, if God's plans are all about Jesus, and Jesus is everything we need, well, then everything we do is all about him. Jesus is the one at the center of God's plans. He's the one who does the work that God wants to do in the world. That was true when Jesus was here on earth. That's true now by his Holy Spirit. Jesus does the work that God wants to do in the world. So we make sure that everything we do is about him and is done in his way. We use the tools he's given us, and we rest on his power. It's word and spirit. We proclaim Jesus, and we pray that God would work through that by his spirit. It's simple, isn't it? As they say, we know and show Jesus. That's what we're here for. But because Jesus is the one doing the work, well, there's a direction to this, isn't there? We know Jesus, and so we show Jesus. Knowing Jesus leads to showing Jesus. If we don't know Jesus, we don't show him. Or, to put it another way, with those other headings, we know his truth, and so we show his love and share his good news. Knowing his truth, knowing him through his message, by his spirit applies it to us, that leads to showing his truth, showing his love, sorry, sharing his good news. Knowing Jesus, knowing his truth, as the Spirit applies it to our hearts. That's the fuel for the other things we do. So now, as we look ahead, we need to make sure that Jesus is our focus and that we're depending completely on him. So when I talk about vision, and when we talk about vision, you see, it's not a to-do list. It's not, if we do this, we'll grow. Here's some things we have to do. If we do those things, we'll grow. It's not that. It's not a to-do list. It's Jesus is building his church. We need to know him and show him. Everything we do needs to work towards knowing and showing Jesus, because he's the one that's doing the work. The stuff we've had in this meeting, the building report, the finances, the different ministry areas we've heard about, none of those things are ends in themselves, are they? They're part of the picture of where we are at the moment. They're things to give thanks to God for and to pray about. And praise God, He's blessed us in lots of things, hasn't He? But those things, they're not ends in themselves. They're part of the picture. The main thing is people knowing and showing Jesus. All those other things are just part of that. Alright, so where are we as a church? Where are we as Christ Church in April 2013? Well, there's some real encouragements. There's lots happening. There's people growing. Now, I've tried to write this down a bit in the vicar's report, in the handout, and we've heard things already, but in this last year, by God's grace, we've had people come to faith in Jesus. We've seen people growing in their faith in Jesus. We've seen people enduring through tough times, holding on to Jesus. We've been getting to know each other as a congregation, and we've shown Christ-like love to each other and to people outside the congregation in concrete, tangible ways because of Jesus. And we've been able to share the good news of Jesus with lots of people through things like we've heard about, through Saturday Cafe, through being up at the Tally-ho Corner, opportunities like that, through services where guests have come to, and through just the reach of having lots of disciples of Jesus here, living lives out in the real world. We've been able to reach people with the good news of Jesus. And all that's thanks to God. Because that's God working by His Spirit with Jesus at the centre of all He does that's accomplished those things. So we say thank you, don't we? Thank you, Lord. We had an archdeacon's report earlier in the year, we talked about it at the time, and where he came in and just looked around and wrote down what he saw, really, and it was a helpful report. And one of the things that he said was that we are an active church. There's lots of these things going on, and that's brilliant. That's really to be encouraged about. That's really to be thankful for. But he also said there are some challenges. He said we need to engage more people in service, in taking responsibility within the fellowship. You know, those who've been taking the lion's share of the responsibility here, in the large part, have been doing it for quite a long time. Some of those people are quite tired now. We need more people to step into that role. We need a clear purpose that people get. You know, so it's not just sort of floating out there. It's actually in our minds as we're tackling the different areas of ministry that we're involved in here at Christ Church. And just as you're waking up each day and getting on with being a Christian in the world, we need to have that clear purpose in our minds. That's part of what this is about now, talking about knowing and showing Jesus. And we need to connect with the community outside, he said. We've got some work to do on that. So all right, well, looking ahead then, what's the next step for us as a church? Discipleship is about growing to look more like Jesus, isn't it? Becoming more like Jesus, growing and knowing and showing Him. Well, it's a path. It's about following Jesus. So what's the next step on that path for us as a church, and therefore for you as an individual? Because the church is just made up of individual people in Christ together, isn't it? So what's the next step for us, for you? Well, going through those headings then, knowing His truth first. What's the first step in knowing His truth? You know, knowing God better through His Word, in the power of His Spirit. What's the next step in that? Well, here's one suggestion. There's a book that we're giving out today, which somebody's kindly bought. It's called The Dangerous Duty of Delight, by John Piper, and it's a great little book, and we've had a testimony from Violet in our congregation just saying how as she's read that book, It's helped to wake up each morning saying, this is a day to live for Jesus. It's a book which is all about enjoying God, which is about finding joy and satisfaction in God through Christ, and therefore living for Him joyously. And if we, each of us, took that, it's only a little book, read it, and worked it through and prayed about it, well, that might really help us, mightn't it? What a difference it'd have to have all of us waking up in the morning saying, how can I live this day for Jesus? This is another day for Him. Right, that's one thing. Read the book. Enjoy it. Another thing, small groups. Small groups are important in our helping one another in knowing the truth. Because actually, you know, each Sunday I or someone else stands here and preaches a sermon. And when we're preaching a sermon, we're trying to say, look, here is God's word to you. This is what God's word is saying to you. This is how I think it applies to you. But actually, in a way, we can be much more precise with that, applying God's word to each other, if we really know each other's situations, in a situation like in a small group, where we really know one another, where we know the things that are going on in each other's lives. We can say to each other, well, this is for you, isn't it? And we can say, well, how are you getting on with that thing that you're talking about? How are you getting on with that thing that was going on last week? How did it go? How can I pray for you this week? You know, we, in Paul's words in the book of Ephesians, we speak the truth in love to one another. And we can do that more easily in a small group. And that's crucial to how the church grows. The word of God applied to people in the power of the Spirit. In small groups, as well as in big settings. Just one-to-one in conversation. So small groups, house groups, are big in seeking to grow the church here at Christ Church. And we need to develop that work as a congregation. And it might be that there's people here who need to think about joining a small group as the next step in growing as a disciple of Jesus, in knowing His truth more. One particular thing we need to establish and work hard at this year, I think, is Pathfinders, which is effectively a sort of small group. Pathfinders is the group for older children, if you like, and young people. It's from year 5 upwards. It's age 10 to 14. And we've got quite a good number in our Gateway group at the moment who are about to take a step up to that group. That's a big step. Because statistically, across the country, well, that's the point that we lose those people. Those early teenage years are the years when most people leave the church. And so, we've got some work to do if we're going to grow those children and young people. Because we don't want them to just be here for a little bit and then go and get lost, do we? We want them to grow in Christ. We want them to grow up as men and women of God. And so, Pathfinders is happening. Kelly and Ernie are running it. It's good. It needs more help. It needs more oomph to help really get it off the ground in the new year. So pray for Kelly and Ernie particularly, and pray for that group. Pray for those children as they prepare to make the step up into it. Pray for those who are already in the group. Just pray that that would really grow, that it would be a great step for those children to make in the next year. Knowing His truth. Well, all right, what's the next step in showing His love? Well, some real encouragements here, aren't there? I keep hearing people telling me how the friendliness of the church, of Christ Church, is really noticeable. I think we've become easier to join here at Christ Church. People have said that. And that's really noticeable. That's a wonderful thing. It's a really encouraging thing. The lunches have been significant in that, haven't they? As we've been having the time eating together at the lunches, that's really helped us grow in our warmth as a fellowship. And that's brilliant. Now, those lunches, they take a lot of effort to run. Thank you to those of you who've been involved in running them, getting them to happen each time. There's a challenge. We need people to commit to that. We need people to serve in that way because it's worth it. It has an obvious benefit. And just generally to commit to the congregation. That might be a great next step for you. We've already said how we need people to step up in areas of service and taking responsibility. Maybe that's the next thing for you. Maybe just committing and saying, yeah, I'm gonna commit to Jesus and Jesus's body, to his people, as well as to him. I'll be here regularly. I'll be here week on week. Whatever that might mean. That might mean joining a small group or something. But committing and saying, yeah, I'm committing to Jesus. I'm committing to his people. That might be the next step for you. That would help us significantly. You see, there's all sorts of areas of service which you could take on. Just read the reports. There's opportunities everywhere. It's easy to join up. And yet still, people still get lost, don't they? They still don't get picked up. People still kind of wander off and disappear, and we lose contact with them. And I try to help with that, and there are others who are trying to help with that, but it would help all the more if we're just looking out for each other more, so that we spot when that happens, so that we notice when it happens, so we think, oh, I haven't seen that person for a couple of weeks, so I hope things are all right, I'll just give them a call. You know, looking out for each other. That's part of showing Jesus' love to each other in concrete ways, isn't it? Looking after each other, keeping each other going in Christ. That's a valuable ministry. It's all right, knowing his truth, showing his love. What's the next step in sharing his good news? Well, we have opportunities all around us, don't we? We've got plenty of opportunities. I'm always struck in Finchley how opportunities are everywhere. The issue for us is not that we've not got enough opportunities. The difficulty for us is we haven't got the people to meet those opportunities. We're not ready to take the opportunities that are there. God gives us opportunities. So we need to be praying that we make the most of them, that we take them when they come along. We have something coming up in this new year, in this next year, called Passion for Life 2014, which is, it's an evangelistic initiative, an outreach initiative. It's about helping churches to share the good news of Jesus with people around, and make good contacts through which we can sort of show Jesus to people and help them to come to know him. That's what it's all about. So we'll be in the autumn having a bit of training. I find often people say, well, I don't really know what to do when I'm in those situations where I could say something for God. And we're going to be addressing that in the autumn here. The house groups will be coming together and we'll be doing some training here and dealing with those big questions that might come up and just how to go about it and what to say. And hopefully you'll find that really, really helpful. That's in the autumn, Passion for Life. The initiative will be next year. The training will be in the autumn this year. And just to say, in all of this, you know, be confident in God. It's God who gives us the opportunities. Remember, it's his work, isn't it, that we're joining in with. It's not our work that we have to battle away with alone. And we're not driven by guilt in this. We're driven by the grace of God. He's been so generous to us. He's doing his work of sharing this grace of Jesus with others. Let's join in with it. As we pray for opportunities, and as God does his work, well, doors open for us, and we need to then ask God for courage to walk through those doors when they open. And it's worth saying as well that nothing builds faith and fellowship like reaching out together with the gospel. You know, as we're sharing the good news of Jesus, well, that does help us to know his truth. That does help us to show his love. That does bond us together. It's great stuff to do. And this sort of leads on to, well, that other question which we've heard a bit about now. Why does the building work need doing? Why do we need to do this building work? It's expensive, it's costly, it's difficult. Why do we need to do it? Well, it is a next step for us. It's not the only thing we need to be doing, clearly. But it is a next step. It's one we've been sort of sizing up for a long time. We need to actually take that step as part of the process of fulfilling our role here in Finchley. Because actually, doing it creates opportunities for growth. It gives us opportunities to give and to serve in new ways. And God says that's great for our growth. Giving and serving is great for our growth as a church. And obviously, as action happens on the building, that's a good talking point for people, isn't it? People will want to know what's going on. That might give us points of contact with those around. Doing it creates opportunities for growth. And also, the completed work, completing it, creates opportunities for growth. Well, why? Because, then we can spend money on other things. There are all sorts of other things we could do which could grow our community, which could grow our church. Here at Finch, in Christ Church, you know, staffing, things like that are possible, but they're not possible at the moment because we have to be spending our money on this. This is the big obstacle that we have to cut across. It's a big step, but it's a good one to take. It's an opportunity for growth. And so the road ahead, it's not easy, is it? It's not easy ahead. It won't be. It never is. It's the way of the cross, isn't it? It's Christian discipleship. That's why I quite like that image that we've been using to advertise this. It's a road with a cross on it. That's the way we're going. It's Christian discipleship, the way ahead, is not easy. It's tiring. It's expensive. You know, giving time, giving energy to serve is hard. You get tired. There are times when you feel discouraged in that. Giving money to accomplish something big is hard. There's always something else you'd rather spend the money on. That's what Jesus says, though, isn't it? Jesus says, well, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's what Jesus tells us that knowing and showing him will be like in this world. It's cross-shaped. It's the way of the cross. The way before us as Christians is going to be hard. It's cross-shaped. These challenges I've put before us, if we take them to heart and do them, they'll be uncomfortable. It's not the line of least resistance. It's not the easy way out. It will mean each of us reshaping our priorities, sticking our necks out. That, at the very least, is what it is to follow in the way of the cross, isn't it? It's costly. And we can't guarantee results, can we? It's not like a CEO of a business saying, well, we grew 3% last year, so we can predict growth at 4% over the next year, blah, blah, blah. You know, we can't predict anything. I don't know the future. You don't know the future. But God knows the future, doesn't he? And he's told us what to do. He's told us to hear his word and believe. He's told us to love one another and to take his message out into the world. He's told us there will be suffering, yes, but there'll also be glory to come later. He's told us to know and show Jesus. And as we do that, our every drop of confidence is in God, isn't it? We do what he tells us to, praying that he will make it happen. The power rests in him. That's the exciting thing about it, actually. Stepping out in faith in God is the way to see God at work. That's also why prayer is at the heart of it. You know, if we think we can do it, we won't pray. That's what we're like, aren't we? We're self-centered, we're self-reliant by nature. We'll think that prayer is a waste of time, and we'll just get on with it ourselves if we think we're up to the job. We'll only pray if we're convinced that only God can do it. If we know that we can't do it alone. If we know that actually it's his work, then we'll pray. So please, whatever else you do as a crucial first step, pray. Take the report, read the different parts of it, read that book, and pray. You'll find it helpful. And more than just finding it helpful, we'll be engaging with God's power as we face the future together.